reading from Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 34. Jesus said further, "The reign of God is like this. A sower scatters seed on the ground, then goes to bed at night and gets up day after day. Through it all, the seed sprouts and grows without the sower knowing how it happens. The soil produces a crop by itself, first the blade, then the ear, and finally the ripe wheat in the ear. When the crop is ready, the sower wields the sickle, for the time is ripe for the harvest." Jesus went on to say, "What comparison can we use for the reign of God? What image will help to present it? It is like a mustard seed, which people plant in the soil. It is the smallest of all earth's seeds, yet once it is sown, it springs up to become the largest of shrubs, with branches big enough for the birds of the sky to build the nest in its shade." Using many parables like this, Jesus spoke the message to them as much as they could understand. Everything was spoken in parables, but Jesus explained everything to the disciples later when they were alone. This is the word from our Holy Scriptures for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So I finally got my plants in a couple of weeks ago, late, because it was cooler and rainy. I don't know why, because we're having a frost warning for this week. I didn't start really anything from seed this year. In fact, like other years where I start them early in the spring, I totally ignored it. Didn't do anything with it. Went straight to bedding out plants that someone else had started. I get to enjoy the beauty of somebody else's labor. I kind of wanted the result without doing the work. We as humans like fast results. And sometimes, in some cases, we can get them, but often only if someone else does the work before us. And this has become somewhat of a problem in our world. We want change, whether in our own lives. I mean, if I could drop 50 pounds tomorrow, I'd be happy. We want change often in our own lives, but we want someone else to do the work, either in the world or for us. And life, I'm sorry to say, doesn't work that way. If we want change, we have to be the ones to take responsibility for it. And change is often hard and thankless, without reward, and sometimes even tedious. But we have to try. Otherwise, nothing is going to change in the world. And we can't leave it to others. We can't enjoy the fruit of someone else's labor while we expect the results to benefit us. Significant change cannot happen quickly. Sticky problems or situations are not easily resolved. We have to continue. If we want to grow into more spiritual people, we have to continue to do the work of our own growth and transformation, and we have to do it also if we want the world to change. And it's going to be in tiny incremental steps. When people get frustrated or angry or impatient with the time it takes to develop new habits or get rid of old ones or to make change in the world, I tell them that we as humans are not meant to change quickly. We can't. If I met with a friend that I hadn't seen for 5 years, and they had changed so drastically that they were a different person, and the same had happened to me, we would start all over again with a relationship because we wouldn't have one. We need a foundation on which to build relationships and life, and that means we can't change quickly. It's not meant to happen. The world would be in a state of chaos if everything changed as rapidly as we wanted it to. There would be no stability. So change takes time and it takes effort. And we all have to do our bit. We have to decide what we want to see changed first, either in ourselves or in the world. Do you really want to see change? You have to be motivated for it. If it's not important to us, we won't do anything about it. So if we want to change things in the world, we first start with ourselves. What can I do? What needs to change? We have no right to complain about something if we're not willing to invest in change. Not that we don't complain, we do. If you could choose what needs to change, either in yourself or in the world, what would you pick? What would be your choice? Maybe you want to change something in your life, habits, health, relationships. Maybe you'd like to see something change in your community or the world, and you're passionate about it. Most of us say we want change and that we want to be our best selves and create a better world, yet we find it very hard to make it happen. I'm as guilty as anybody else. And we do say we want to grow into our own potential. Because learning and growth is what humans were created for. All creation is about growth. Otherwise, it's going the other direction. We thrive on learning. We thrive on being better for ourselves and others. We feel good when that happens. And we certainly know that there are things that also need to change in the world. We want to leave things better for future generations. So what will we do about these things? Well, we all have to do our bit, B-I-T. Jesus told a little parable about what the kingdom of God looks like. It's about a farmer planting the seeds and partnering with God in their growth to bring about a bountiful harvest. In this story, it takes both the farmer and God for growth to take place. If we are willing to participate in our growth and the growth of the world, God comes alongside us, providing what is needed in order for transformation to take place. But it first takes the farmer. We have to do our bit. So B, we have to decide first to begin. Begin. Where is the change needed in ourselves or in the world? Decide what you're passionate about and then begin. It's the first step. The farmer begins by sowing seed before God does anything. The farmer had to do it first. We have to take the initiative, set the course, be intentional, so God can join us in helping with the growth. The other thing about that is that the change we desire has to align with our values. We will not do it, and we won't have results, and we won't get the success we desire if it doesn't align with what we believe, what our values are. We have to believe passionately about the change we want to make. Don't start something you don't feel strongly about. But if you do feel strongly about something and you want something to happen, begin. Get it started. Then I, invest. You're now in this with God. What do you need to do to help God in making this change a reality? How will you invest in growth and change? What help do you need and what plans do you need to make? What resources do you need to provide for the change? And where will you find a community or support for what you want to achieve? That's important. Find other people who will come alongside you to do what you want to do. In the farmer's case, he first had to get the seeds. He had to go out into the field and he had to sow them and he had to get up each day and tend to his fields, do his chores, participate in his own growth. But at night, he also had to go to bed and trust that God would do what God could do, grow the seeds. He invested what he had and then trusted that God would do what he couldn't do. We have to do the same thing. We all have to invest in something. We have to do something about it. We have to believe in it. Otherwise, nothing is going to happen because God needs us to participate, to invest in the change. Put your heart and soul into what you desire. Invest. And then time. All growth takes time. Your time and a length of time. And it's sometimes a long time. Like I said, we want instant results for things. But anything worthwhile takes time. In our own lives to change habits. In the world, patience and trust are key to significant change. Because it often moves at a snail's pace. And sometimes we don't even live to see the change that we desire in the world. Change takes a significant commitment of our time and our resources. But if it's worthy change, it is worth our time and whatever it takes to see results. Time. It would be nice if a farmer planted and the next day reaped. Doesn't work that way. First there's the shoot, the little shoot, then there's the stalk, then there's the head of grain, and then it ripens in the sun, whatever God provides. If we want something that's bad enough, we have to do our bit. Begin, invest time. This works also for the church, by the way. One of the problems we have in the church is that we try to take on too many things. We try to be all things to all people and make everybody happy. It's kind of like politics that way. Because there are a lot of people in the church who want different things. But a community of faith also has limited time, resources, and passion. Each community of faith needs to pick just a few things to do well, according to our values and passion, and then do those things well. But if all churches did their bit, we would make a significant dent in some of the challenges we face. So start today. Begin. Invest. And put in the time it takes. What seeds of growth and change can you imagine for you today or for the world? Later this week, a small group of people are going from this community of faith and a few other communities of faith and be heading to the Dominican Republic to offer a baseball camp to about how many kids this year, Gary? 107 kids are registered. And this small team is going to put together a baseball camp in the barrio of Maria Auxiliadora through Tears. And it's all been coordinated by Gary DeZerka for many years. And also going from this community are Curtis Carlson and Olivia Herbst, who couldn't make it here today. So I've asked Gary, because there are a few people I know who have really taken this on and done their bit, have invested a lot in these teams and taking these teams down to the Dominican. So I've asked Gary if he would come and speak to us a little bit about what that means for him and how that's worked for him. So let's start with this. How you began. How did this start, Gary? How did this happen?
Began. Is it working?
Yep.
Okay. Because I can't quite look down with my neck to see if it's green.
Yeah, I see it on.
Okay, good. Actually, it began back in 2011. Yourself and Julia Leggett, which many of you may remember, as a member of the church, put together a youth trip. And at that time, our daughters were 15 and 13. So I said to Joanne, you know, it's probably a good idea for you to take our two daughters on this trip and do a mother-daughter thing, and that'd be a great experience for them. And after the first meeting, we found out it was going to be the Dominican, and it was going to be in the center part of the island where there's no tourists. And in a little bit of homework, I found it was the poorest community of the whole island. And I think I'm going to go for no other purpose than to make sure they came home safe. So that's how it began, and I'm sure many of you have heard me tell the story over the years. It started that way, but like many people who are on that trip and the subsequent 14 trips since, fell in love with the community, the people, their love for God, and the mission that they're pursuing in the community for the kids, for health, for school, for education. And so, yeah, it started back in 2011.
So that just amazes me. So Gary goes down, first of all, to protect his family. I might have organized the first trip. Gary has organized every other trip since then. He came back and said, this is my passion, not necessarily Julia's. This is my passion, and he developed a passion for that. So that beginning, he began.
Yeah, I think we agreed. I think you brought me aside after the trip and talking about our church and the relationship we could have with their community. We realized that wasn't going to be a one-and-done type of mission trip for our church.